down and get down to this reading of the word thing. We are in the book of Revelation. How many of you have actually been in a sermon series in a church on the book of Revelation? In church, not on tape. Okay. How many of you have listened to David Jeremiah? Do I need to bring this up a little higher? You know, I'm no David Jeremiah. Of course, David Jeremiah ain't me either. So I don't have to put up with that Shadow Mountain stuff where he's from. But I got to tell you, one of the neatest things that he ever did for me, he gave me a piece of advice. And I didn't really know who he was. I was up in Hume Lake. And I normally meet these people by raking their needles around their cabins when they come up. And, of course, I'd never really listened to radio, Christian radio. And so I didn't know who Swindoll was. I don't know who David Jeremiah is, you know. But I was raking his needles, and I was telling him I was saving money to go to Bible college. And at that point, he was still president of Heritage down in San Diego. It was called Heritage Bible College, right? Heritage Christian University, something like that. And so he goes, and I said, I don't know if you've ever heard of Bible colleges, but I'm going to be going to one. You know, and I said, I don't know what you think about doctrine or anything, but you know, I wanted to talk to you about where I'm going, and that's why I'm raking needles. I'm saving up money and that sort of thing. You know, sometimes when you're ignorant, you can get away with stupid things. You know, and the guy was just, he goes, you know what? I know the school, good school. I'm glad you're going there. He goes, but I got a piece of advice for you. I said, what? What do you have for me? And he said, wherever you go, plant yourself and bloom. Wherever you go. I said, okay, that's cool. He goes, no, I mean wherever. If that's for 2 weeks, wherever that is, that's your last 2 weeks that you know you have. It may not even last 2 weeks. And I was in Christian camping, so I was used to moving from one camp to another. And, you know, and it was a really neat thing for him to say to me. And later on, I would say that to my wife as I would drag her around. In our first 16 years of marriage, we moved 12 times. And plant yourself and bloom, grow, become fruitful, multiply. It was his biggest advice to a guy going off to Bible college. I think he knew that you can go to Bible college and never really go to church. I mean, you could go to church, but you're not really part of the church. He knew that about us. And his biggest concern is that I would grow and flourish and be fruitful. And I'd say that to you guys, as you're checking churches out, as you're moving around, as people do at any given moment, wherever you're at, that is the kingdom work God's got you at. If it's for a week, then it's 1 week of kingdom work there. If it's for 6 months, you got 6 months. But we really only know today, don't we? We only are assured for today. But we do know wherever God puts us, that's the place for us to live our faith. And so in this time, in this place, in this California, we can complain as Christians and act like we're horribly persecuted. When we got to be very honest, we've got it good. Gooderest than most. But the idea of planting and growing is extraordinary. You see, you have these seven churches. Somebody planted those churches. In fact, you can see if you look in a map, a lot of here's a good way to know if you have a study Bible versus just, and I'm not putting down a Bible that doesn't have a study Bible, but I'm saying a good study Bible has great maps. Amen? Who's a map person? I love maps, you know, because that's how you know where to bomb things. And if you don't have a map, you really don't want to go around with bombs because it hurts people. But if you have a good map and you have good coordinates, effective use of artillery and bombs is wonderful. All right? So I'm a map guy. And most of you, when you look at Israel, you think, that's a huge country. It's smaller than the bounds of Kings County. I mean, not Kings County, Kern County. If you were to take it and put it in all its pieces, it's smaller by far than Kings County. It is a lot like living in the Central Valley, that if you were to get in a jet in Jerusalem and fly west, you would be over the ocean in somewhere like 22 seconds. Once you get off that field, you kick in the afterburner, boom, you're over the Med. It's like here, these guys that take off from Fresno, you know, in their F-16s, it doesn't take them but seconds to get to the coast if they wanted to. I mean, that's, so being in this valley is a lot like the Middle East and a whole lot like Jerusalem. When the water flows, things grow. We have the same sort of format of farming here. From that little country, God decided to send out his disciples of his son to all over the world. Some of the earliest Christian communities were in Arabia, or now you would look at it and you would think of it as the Middle East. You'd see it and you'd see Arabia and Iraq and Afghanistan. Long before there was a Muslim influence, there was Christ Jesus living in communities there. Even now, if you were to be savvy enough to get on the computer and check certain websites about the persecuted church, you'd find that in Baghdad in the last 3 weeks, you've had at least 4 bombings that were directly due to trying to kill Christians. And in those 4 bombings, we've had a number of American civilians injured because they go to church in multinational churches in those countries. Well, here's one way to look at it. As an airborne ranger, I look at the map and I say, who do we need to blow up next? But as an airborne ranger saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I look at it and say, what is the next place where we need to kick in the gates of hell? Where else better than in Baghdad? Where else better than Afghanistan? Where else better than Sacramento? Los Angeles, West Hollywood, Covina. These are all places 30 years ago that had these multi-thousand person churches. Now they got multi-tens of thousand person churches. But are they settling for a big church instead of kicking in the gates of hell? See, we're going to study about Philadelphia, the church there. Philadelphia, the word means a city of brotherly love. It was known as a place of kind intentions. It was known as a Mayberry, USA kind of town. It wasn't the biggest one of the churches that were written. The community was pretty affluent, but it wasn't the biggest, most powerful community in Near East Asia. The church in Philadelphia is called small, and even is meant to be called weak by the appearance of outward notions. But that little church in that little place, of all the churches he mentioned, this one, God doesn't bring anything against it. And so I want to share this with you, because when I look at where we've come as a church, and 5 years ago I would have called us the Ephesus church. Great theology, no heart. My fear is that we'd be a Sardis church, that we would live, it would look as if we are alive, but if you looked inside, all of our programs and all the things going on, the multimedia and the webcasts and all that stuff, you would just find death. It really isn't living, it's being zombies. But as I read through this right now, I come to this little church, this weak, according to the world, little place, in this Philadelphia church, and I say, I'd like to be that church in that place at that time. And if you want to know why us elders and pastor staff are just bent on not just being a church at 19th and Stroud, because we've learned a lesson from the 7 letters of the 7 churches. If all you are is defined by your address, you ain't going to be around in 2,000 years. So I'd like to introduce a radical idea to you before we even get into this thing, is that on Palm Sunday, we will not be here at 19th and Stroud. We will be in New London presenting the Christ who has come to a community that needs every stronghold broken down, every Asherah pole cut into pieces. Because there's only one God and one Savior and one gospel. And it's not here at 19th and Stroud. It's in the world where the people are. And they deserve to know Jesus Christ. They deserve to have a church that's on fire. And we are not that church if we sit here and we just do what we've been doing for 100 years. It's time to take this show on the road. And it's time to take Christ to the people. And it's time to say enough. Well, we're not reading Revelation anymore. Because if you can't read the book and understand it, then you're not one of the bondservants. And if this church sits on its duff in light of communities going to hell, it doesn't deserve to have a place on 19th and Stroud. And if it seems like I'm mad, I'm not. I'm intense and I want to kick in the gates of hell. And I want to do it with you guys. And I do want to do it with every person in this community who is tired of making excuses of why Jesus can't penetrate a community. Because that may be something, but it ain't the truth. And I will burn this place down to the ground because we have good insurance. And because this is not the church. 19th and Stroud is not us. It works for us. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the orchard. And if you're coming from another church and you're like, wow, that's great. I want to be like that. Let me remind you of the orchard's history before we got to this point. We fought over everything. Putting stuff in the walls, colors of carpet, colors of pews. I know there are some people who actually did not like the colors of these pews. I can't imagine why. But I know the gospel is needed there. I know June Hess has gone there personally and shared the gospel with the people in Traver. Amen, June? Do they need a church? They do. We sang these songs about Jesus Christ coming to heaven, coming to earth, to sinners, making himself known and vulnerable so that they might be saved. Yet we're the body of Christ, and we're going to sit in Kingsburg and tell people to come here? When our Jesus took it to Satan. And the call was to go make disciples. So if you've been here for 4 years, you know what I'm talking about because I've been telling you for 4 years where we're going. And if you're wondering why we didn't get a youth pastor and we opted to get some pastor of community outreach and missions, that sort of thing, because I believe this town needs more than another youth group. It needs a mission to see people's lives saved. So when we read about Philadelphia, you got to understand that little church. So I want you to read Philadelphia with new eyes. And if you're blind, Kevin, smell it. I'll get you a scratch and sniff Bible and taste and see. Smell that the Lord is good. This is the best stuff on earth. Let's pray as we engage this word together. Heavenly Father, if we're coming to you bored, then you aren't God. And we don't know you. But if we're coming to you with a thump in our hearts, with that taste of the Spirit filling us, then may we not be satisfied with anything less than death and resurrection. That as a church, we would have the same heart and mind as our Savior, and we would go to Golgotha for everybody you send our way, knowing that even if we were to die, we will be resurrected into life. And who can stand against us if God is for us? So, Lord, as we read about this church of Philadelphia, may you change our hearts and minds. May you encourage us to go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're almost done with the seven letters and the seven churches. I know a lot of people are like, man, let's get to the good stuff. The dragons, the boils, you know, people's faces falling off. We'll get there, all right? In fact, I'm going to be working with Rick Alonso so I can put some stuff up so you can see it. So you can get a little bit of, you know, if you're like me, I'm a visual learner, not just an auditory. I need to see it. If you're really like me, I need to see it, punch it, kick it, eat it, smell it, roll in it, and then have it punch me back. Because that's how I learn. You ever got that dad who says, well, son, if you do that, you could break it. Why did you do that? I just wanted to see if you were right, Dad. And you're right, it's broken. All right. That's how we're going to learn this thing. Yep, you know. We're going to learn it this way. I remember the first time in horse equitation in a class that I was doing, and I'd been around horses all my life from very young, and I was teaching this class, and I was only 8 in 4-H, and I was teaching to our 4-H club in Exeter, and I said, when you go around a horse, just walk around. I kind of talk to him the whole time or whistle, and then as I go back his back haunches, I just kind of give him a pat as I go around back, and you stay as close to those big old legs as you can. And I was only 7 or 8 years old saying this. So some junior higher thought he's smarter than a 7-year-old. Decided he'd just go walking around Barb. Well, Barbie, she was an old cutting horse. And she's got a mind, kind of like your wives. If you're up close and nice to them, they're great. But you get behind those legs and they kick at you, they'll take your head off. And they'll act like it's your fault. And so he got around Barb. Barb didn't get enough room to really get him with the hooves. She got him with their knees. Well, a knee shot from a horse, a quarter horse, is a pretty good shot in that guy's chest. Needless to say, the next week he came back by. He had never been so friendly with a horse's rump, and I mean that in a good way. He was like hugging it going around the building. It's like, okay, we made it around there, some lessons you learn painfully. Other lessons you can learn from the Bible, and because the Holy Spirit exists amongst us, we don't have to learn them painfully. In fact, in Awana, the kids learn about the Bible, why we have the Bible. One of the memory verses says, so that we might learn from the mistakes of previous generations. Learn from the mistakes of previous generations. So when we read about Philadelphia, I want us to learn. I want a lesson that is applicable to this life. So let's read this. Let's hear what God has to say, what Christ Jesus in his final revelation to the church written down had to say. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that is to come, coming into the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of heaven, and my own new name. Remember, name means reputation. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not just to Philadelphia, but to the churches. 5 years ago, the summer of 2007, this church was somewhere bouncing between 75 people and 115. We came here and I preached a message to you, and you know what I saw? The fire in your bellies. I saw your faith and your faithfulness. I saw people who were not satisfied with just filling a building. And since then, you guys have been the kind of people that go get the weirdest kind of people. Because you know what? It is not popular to go around and say, we're going to plant churches. Because when you plant a church in a community, what does that say to the other churches? In the flesh. Oh, you're going to compete for our people. Really? How can I compete for your people? If they're your people, they're your people. But before they're your people, they're Christ's people. And when we plant churches, guess who we're really going after? People who are not Christ's people yet. So when the well came to town, I said, more the merrier. Bring it on. When grace came to town, I know it was an uproar and people were upset, but I was like, bring it on. Preach the word. Make the gospel known. Get out there and be yourselves. A high tide raises other boats. If the other churches don't like that, they can start doing evangelism. Because as far as I see in here, he's calling us to be conquerors. Did you get that? Victory is ours in Jesus Christ. And we're to go out there and win it. And somewhere in the last 10 years, we got to the point as Christians, because the government doesn't listen to us, Jerry Brown's a total pagan, you know, that we have no voice. But we're complaining about the wrong things. And can I admit to you that I complain about the wrong things? I've got a plan to separate this state into three pieces. It's a good plan, and it works on maps. And you know what you do with maps, right? You use maps to blow stuff up. And if you put a big enough hole in the I-5, we're going to change the culture of this valley. But you know what? That doesn't mean nothing compared to seeing people saved and churches planted in communities that need on fire bodies of Christ. Nothing. Doesn't mean I'm still not planning to blow up the I-5. And if the ATF wants a piece of that, they can find me. I don't have enough explosives. But I have friends who do. But bigger than that mission is the mission that this church has. Notice what he calls himself here. The words of the Holy One. When you have that connection of the Holy One, it is particular and it's talking about his being. The words of the one who is the only one who has ever been holy walking this earth. Listen. It goes on to describe him as not only being the Holy One, not a holy one amongst holy ones. He calls himself the Aletheian One, the completely lacking any falsehood and completely in everything whole one. And we call that truth, not lacking in anything true, Jesus Christ, as opposed to everyone else who is not. Buddha, Muhammad, the false teacher who's going around saying the end of the world is nigh. I mean nigh. The governor of the state, the legislature, the president, Newt Gingrich, and all those crazy people in New Hampshire. There's only one true one. And it's not Bill O'Reilly. It's not Fox News. It's not Chuck Swindoll, and it's not me, it is Jesus Christ only. The Holy One who has the key of David, meaning the messianic keys to the kingdom, which is a call to Jews. In this Philadelphia town, there was a large group of Jews, and what had happened when the church was split, half of them left the synagogue to be part of the Christian faith of their Jewish God, Jesus Christ. The other half stuck to their historical, traditional roots. Look what he says about people who are identified by their historical, traditional roots. He calls them in verse 9, "Behold, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie." See, the synagogue of Satan, the gathering place of learning for Satan is what he called those who would not accept, those Jews who did not accept the proclamation of the kingdom. And they didn't merely not accept it, they sought to do harm to the ones who did. Okay? But he had no problem. The Apostle John, who is Jewish, had no problem calling those who want to be Jewish by tradition, not Jews. What do you think he has a problem telling some American who thinks they're Christian because they're born in America, they go to a Baptist church, and they love NASCAR? Do you think he has a problem saying, for those who say that you're Christians, you're not a Christian, you're a liar. If you're Christian by your tradition, you lie. So lest we beat up on the Jews, let's beat up on our own kin and understand what he's saying here. See, the synagogue of Satan is any teaching that goes against Christ, himself, Jesus Christ. That's why the Mormons are not Christians. And that if their faith is in their Mormon faith and tradition, they're going to hell. Same with the Jehovah's Witnesses, same with the Catholics, same with the Evie Free, same with the Baptists, the Lutherans, and the Mennonites. If your tradition is what saves you, then you're going to die in hell. Because tradition doesn't save, Jesus Christ saves. So I don't care if you're Mormon or Baptist, if that's your call and you think that's it, you find yourself in the wrong synagogue, my friend. Can you imagine that, being on top of your synagogue? We are the synagogue of Satan. Beelzebub. You know, now it'd probably be pretty popular and he'd have a coffee house and brew house and, you know, bookstore, radio station, webpage, stickers. It'd be cool. Definitely tattoos, Raider paraphernalia. Whatever would belong. I know, my season's over, but it doesn't mean I get 7 months to beat up on the Raiders, and they have no way of defending themselves. I know your works, and that's important to remember, that God knows who we are as a body. He knows our deeds. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. And folks, it's time we walk through that door. I know there's a lot of you that when we first came here, you know, there was me and my wife and 79 of you. And we all got to know each other pretty well. I know over the last 5 years, there's less and less contact. Man, Chuck and I used to spend, what, almost 3 days a week together, right? Remember the old days? And it's not because Chuck and I don't love each other as much as we've ever loved each other, but there's a ton of ministry, including the ministry Chuck has. And because of that ministry, we don't get to spend as much time together. So what's going to draw a church together if it's not personal relationship? Mission. Having a mission bigger than us to serve Christ. And that may scare some of you. You might want to go, well, I'd like to go to a church that's less you. Well, you know what? If they're following the Lord, then they're going to be more them. And God bless you and them. But find a church that follows Jesus. They don't have to do what we do. We're called to do what we're going to do. And this church, from its history, has been called to be a missionary church. To plant churches, create good, healthy leadership within our denomination and without. How many people have heard of Link Care? Do you realize that as a family of this church? That through the ministries of this church, through their prayer while he was in World War II and the sustenance that came through that, that we have a counseling center that doesn't just serve us, but serves countless missionaries and missionary agencies all over the world, and we get a piece of that taste. But how many of you know that? Not many. You know why? Because we stopped getting it out there at some point. We've got Rick Alonzo with us, who is probably the best spokesman for Swedes that you can get. You know? We've got missionaries overseas, and we ain't done with them yet. And I would like you to think about going on a missions trip. Think about it. Not only think about it. Gut it up and ask God. Of course, you know that the problem is when you ask God and he answers you, now you have to look God in the eye and go, no, Dad. Or you can say, yes, sir. I'm going to go talk to Jesus about that. I'm going to find out what he called me to do. I would love to be able to say 70% of our people have been on a missions trip in the last 5 years. Well, I'm not a missionary. You are if you go on the trip. All right? I don't know what you did when you went there. You could have went to Yugoslavia and just sat around all day, I don't know, fishing. But if you did it with five people, that's a mission. The doors are opened. And the only one that can shut the door is Jesus. It says it right there. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No one is able to shut it. I know that you have but little power, and you have kept my word, and have not, what? Denied my reputation, my name. That's what he says. From now on, when people come to this church, they're going to find out we are pointed like an on-fire German short hair towards a bird. We know where God's taken us, and that's everywhere out from here. And so when I present to you that we're going to go to New London for that very special occasion of Christ walking in, the King is come, and we're going to present that in New London, and then we're going to go the next week, and we're going to go on Easter. We're going to take the resurrection on the road, and we're going to go to Traver, and we're going to present the resurrection to a community that needs the same resurrection this one got 100 years ago. Because that's our call. I would even go beyond that. That's the call of this town if you're a Christian in this town. Because somebody did it for this place. It is time to do it for somebody else. And you're going to meet people that are nuttier than I am who are doing the ministry. Of course, some of you are pretty crazy. But I'm presenting this to you not as a vote, because we don't vote about God's call. We don't have to vote about that. We're going to go and we're going to see what God directs there. We'll see what doors he opens and we'll see what he shuts. But we're not going to see it from 19th and Stroud. We're going to see it on the grounds, boots on the grounds. We have a significant number of you people from Dinuba and Reedley. And I understand that right now is probably not the best time to go plant a church over there. Because maybe that's why you're coming here, because you don't want to be there. As much as it was the understanding of the well that you had all these people coming up to Fresno to go to a church service and eat a Chipotle and throw a red ball at each other. And then you would come back here to your community. And then they moved here. And now there's a church plant here. And there are brothers and sisters in this fight. And I'm going to go ask them for help. And I'm going to partner with anybody who, number one, is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number two, will not settle for traditions instead of transformation. And we're going to work together. And we're going to do a church plant. And then we're going to do another church plant. And we're going to do another church plant. We're going to do a church plant in, I don't know, Redding? Who knows? Fort Carson, Colorado? Who's with me? Come on, Bronco fans. Colorado used to be a very godly state. It is not a godly state anymore. Iowa is not a godly state anymore. And what does it take? Apparently just a little church with an open door. So I'm going to put it with you. Knuckle up. Are you with us? Are you ready to invest your family and your life and your community into transforming some other place for their sake, not ours, because Jesus Christ is Lord? It's that time. We've been playing. We haven't been playing around for 4 years. We get ready. We brought on pastor staff who's going to be just tremendous in helping us get there. We brought on elders for this purpose. And he's brought you guys here. Because not many of you were born here. Some of you have returned here. And now you're going to find that we're going to leave here and take the gospel. But this is our packing house. This is where you're going to get trained and sent out. So if you thought the new year was just going to be another new year, it's not another new year. It's an open door. And it doesn't shut except Jesus shuts it. So I'd like to close us in prayer. Close us with the idea like that little church. You know, nobody really cares about a church as long as it doesn't make waves. But that little Philadelphia church kept the reputation of Christ, and it sure ticked some folks off. And they had the reputation of being a synagogue. Are you guys ready? I want you to pray about it. Because there's plenty of talk out there. It's time to walk. Walk the walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we face this new year, it's on a calendar. To you, it's just another day. Another day in the office. Another day to see people come to know you as Savior, Jesus Christ, and to live in your will, Father. That it is your will that you would cancel out their debt in your Son, who knew no sin, and therefore is the perfect price for our sin and our debt. And we have the opportunity to come together as the body of Christ and to walk with authority in the gospel, seeing people saved, planting churches, raising up servant leaders. And Lord, until you come, and come, Lord Jesus, come. But until you do, you continue to show us the strongholds. And we'll be like Caleb in our old age. We'll take the sword in our boys, in our families, in our churches, and we'll take the high ground. Because until you come, the work ain't over. And all God's people said together, amen. Hey, come on back here and enjoy spending time together. You got some time before the game starts. And enjoy the fellowship of believers who kick in the gates of hell.